TSN 1200 presents the Jim K. Ford Lincoln postgame show. Coming up, a complete analysis of tonight's game, including calls, texts, and emails. But first, tonight's three stars, brought to you by Canadian Tire, Canada's Garage.
Welcome to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show. The Sens fall 5-2 to the Kings and snap their two-game winning streak. They're now 10-14-1 on the year. And after a very fun weekend with how things ended in New York on Friday and the way the team played Saturday, Jamie Baker, they followed that up with blank kind of performance.
Listless.
The word of the day. Jamie
word
Baker.
Of the night.
We'll get to the three stars in the next segment, just waiting for head coach DJ Smith. But other than listless, how would you describe what you saw tonight?
The team that played better won tonight's hockey game. And the Sens, it was ominous from the start of the game. They gave up two quick goals within the first 3 minutes. Their D-zone coverage wasn't good. They weren't tracking and sorting. They didn't generate much offensively tonight. They were kind of chasing the game. After they scored their second power play goal to make it 5-2, they had a little bit of momentum. It was too little too late at that point. It's one of those ones you almost want to throw it out. Like, nobody, the team didn't show up. They didn't play the way they can. Disappointing because of the emotional wins against the Rangers Friday night, the comeback win, and then the emotional win against the Sharks. You just, the expectation.
And the dads in the building tonight.
The dads are here. You're like, they've won 4 of 5. And then, you know, you look last night, and we talked about this in the pregame show, but like Philly won last night. The Rangers won. Washington won. All against Western teams. Montreal blew a 4-0 lead, but still picked up a point. So, you know, the Sens last night lost some traction to 4 teams that are ahead of them but not even in the playoff race. Tonight was a chance for them to make up those 2 points against those teams.
Here's
and
head coach.
They didn't do it.
We'll finish that in a second. Here's DJ Smith.
Way too many chances. Didn't check hard enough. You know, and that's on me. That's you know, our preparation to start the game starts with me as the coach, and that, you know, it's certainly unacceptable, but you know, my job is to make sure these guys are ready to play. And, you know, maybe we should have morning skated. We didn't morning skate. We were loose. And, you know, the game got away from us in the first period. And then after that, you're fighting an uphill battle and you're playing losing hockey. The other team sits back. You know, the shot clock is what it is because they're ahead of us. You know, that's just not good enough.
Can you pin any of this on 2 emotional victories over a 24-hour period not that long ago?
Yeah, I mean, the excuse would be 2 emotional victories and now there's a letdown, but it can't happen. The situation that we're in, we're crawling ourselves off the mat and, you know, to not be knowing how much this win would mean going into the road to play Dallas and Nashville, 2 tough teams. We knew this stretch of 3 games is against 3 playoff teams. And, you know, we had an opportunity at home to jump on a team and we didn't do it.
Yeah, to push harder too. Hard enough on that goal.
Yeah, we didn't get to the net, and they had the puck too much. We were a step behind all night. You know, that line, that 9 line with Velarde and Iafallo, you know, they were just skated and did what they had to do. You know, we didn't get desperate and we didn't get mean in our own zone until the second period, and by then the game's over. So, you know, when they leave the locker room, I have to have them ready, and they weren't.
Lack of consistency can be frustrating where you see how well your team plays in back-to-back games, and then you have that flat start like this that just seems...
Well, I don't know about consistency. You just come off winning 4 or 5. I think we played real well. We played hard. What I didn't like about the first period is we didn't play hard enough. That's, you're going to have games where you don't have it, but you find ways, you know, where you don't have legs, but you find ways to stay in the game, and you get out of that period down 2-1. Instead, we shoot ourselves in the foot. We have an opportunity in the second period. We have a power play. We take a penalty. And then ends up in the back of the net again. The game's over.
It's the third time in 9 games you change your goalies. I mean, you didn't say it's 2 at times when they're not playing.
Yeah. But our goaltending's been outstanding. Talbot was outstanding in New York, and Forsey was outstanding last game. And if they don't have their A game, it's up to us to cover them. They've covered us plenty. And we're not going to sit here and say Talby should have this or have that. We got to let him feel his way into the game. Give him almost nothing in the first period, and he'll respond. No, I mean, at the end of the day, we have a job to do, and it's win games. I just didn't think he had it at his best tonight. I know he wants to battle through stuff like that. He's been real good. He'll be real good again.
Thanks, Coach.
There's head coach DJ Smith in conversation with the media, Bakes, and he took, I think, one of the criticisms that fans have had throughout most of this season is that he's never taken the accountability. What I've seen a lot of is that they believe that there's excuses and we're this and we're that, and a lot of people wanted to see him take ownership of some of what's happened. Tonight he did that. He said the preparation for the game is on him. There's no excuse. Maybe he should have had them have a morning skate. Not good enough. So he took ownership of that. What did you make of hearing that?
I like when not just a coach, or it could be a coach or a player or a GM, when they take ownership. You know, it's accountability. I think there's different ways that you can take ownership. I don't necessarily agree with this one. I see what he's doing. He's not letting the guys off the hook. He's saying, you know, this one's on me from the preparation standpoint. All these players have to do is, we just talked about who won last night. Philly won. Washington won. The Rangers won. Like, Montreal got a point. Just go look at the standings today, which a lot of guys do. You're going to look at the standings, see where you're at, and don't get all caught up in the emotional wins that happened Friday and Saturday night, or the fact that you've won 4 out of 5. You're like, you have to go do it again. You have to replicate it. These are pro athletes. They don't need, in a long season, they don't need to be motivated. They should be able to motivate themselves. You're playing in front of your dads. You're playing in front of your dads. Like, this is the beginning of the dad's trip. You've just had a couple of big wins. You're at home. Don't you want to put together 2 big wins in a row at home in front of these fans who are just drooling for you to get some excitement and get some wins? And, you know, they've struggled at home lately. I mean, minus the win against the Sharks. Like, I'm not blaming this one on DJ. There might be some tactical things over the course of the season that I could say, yeah, you got to fix. But this one's on the players. Like, if you can't get up for this game, you come out as flat as you did, and he said it. He goes, they were winning all the races. Like, it just looked like L.A. had, they were just winning races to the puck. They were outnumbering them. They had control of the puck. I thought Ottawa was a little better in the second period, but not much better. I still think L.A. controlled the tempo of the game in the second period. I thought maybe the last 10 minutes of the game, but listless. That's on the players. And yeah. I don't, you know, so I'm not blaming DJ at all on this one.
Yeah, he said we're a step behind all night. Good teams find ways to stay in the game when you don't have it and get out of that first period.
Yeah, like you don't give up the slot
and
grade A scoring chances.
He said we didn't get desperate or mean enough in front of our own zone until the second, and by then it was too late. And that's what you and I were talking about during the first, is Kings were doing anything they wanted in the slot in that first period.
Like, you know... Like, at all levels of hockey, the slot, it's called the house, is the most important part of the rink. You know you have to protect it first. And this is where this was mental tonight. They didn't have their legs going, but this is the mental part of the game. They weren't picking up guys coming in. Like, they weren't, I called it head on a swivel. Like, they were losing guys in the defensive zone way too easily. Like, way too easily. And it started on the first goal, and that's on DeBrincat. And if you're not scoring, you got to be good defensively. Like, that's your line. You're like, you guys are out there, and boom, it's 1-0. It was a bad bounce. The shot from the point hit Pinto, but Matt Roy came in backdoor, and he's like, DeBrincat didn't see him. It was too late, and DeBrincat was 4 or 5 feet behind him. And I'm not blaming the game on DeBrincat. It was just
using that example of
it was like that was
seen a lot of
that was the first goal, and that kind of set the tone for the evening. It's like here's we're gonna gift wrap one for you. There you go. There's a nice. We're gonna spot you one, and oh, here we're gonna spot you two. So now you have a nice, comfortable 2-0 lead. And even though the Sens scored the next goal, they never really captured the momentum after that power play goal, which made it 2-1.
All right. If you want to weigh in on tonight's loss, you can give us a call at 613-750-1200. You can text at 12-1200. Or standard messaging rates apply. On the other side, we'll do the three stars, the out-of-town scoreboard, and then begin taking your reaction. Sens lose 5-2, 10-14-1 on the year. They head to Dallas and Nashville next. This is the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show on the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
You're listening to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show on TSN 1200. Time to check out the play of the game.
Puck is cleared out. Here's Iafallo. First game back after that knee injury. Slides inside the Ottawa zone. Drops it back. Anderson to the corner. Quick shot. Scores! From an awkward angle, it's a 2-0 lead already as, again, the Senators get twisted around in their own zone and not entirely sure where the puck was. And bing, bang, bong, it's 2-0. And I believe Anderson, who, again, came in from the point, I think he walked down and got that chance.
Yeah, that's the play of the game, Bakes, because we both felt standing there in section 113 watching together that 2 minutes, 15 seconds into the game, felt like that was going to be it for the rest of the night.
I mean, there's some nights you can just sense that it's far from over. And if you look back at, you know, they fell behind Vegas earlier this year and fought back. They ultimately lost that game, but they just
never felt like it tonight.
It never felt like it. They again, I use the word listless. They just didn't have it. And even when they scored that goal, that power play goal, 2-1, they didn't follow it up with like 3-4 shifts of momentum. Even if you don't score, you're getting good scoring chance in that. It was kind of like LA kind of snuffed them out after that, smothered them a little bit. Just they were winning the races. LA was, they were winning more battles tonight. They were just they looked like a hungrier team. That's what it looked like from the eye test tonight. And it wasn't one player. You can't pick on one player. Yeah, Talbot could have been better tonight, but he wasn't getting a lot of help in front of him either.
All right, it's time now for the three stars brought to you by your Ottawa area Canadian Tire stores. And star number three tonight, Kevin Fiala.
And there could have been some other guys from LA, and I know Shabbat had a goal on the assist, but Kevin Fiala tonight, I'll tell you what, he's got so much patience. A good free agent signing. I know Ottawa might have been interested in him, but we got to see him firsthand here tonight. Some real good puck skills, and he picked up an assist tonight. And then it was a dagger. It was 4-1 at the time. You're thinking if the Sens can get the next goal, maybe they can mount something, you know, of a comeback potentially. And once he made it 5-1 with just a bullet of a shot.
And we started counting commercial breaks.
And then we started counting commercial breaks. That's exactly what we did. So he's the third star.
Second star, Victor Arvidsson.
In-house, he was the number one star. We gave him number two star because we thought somebody played better than him. But he picked up a couple of goals tonight. One on the power play, one even strength. That's what he does. He's a junkyard dog. He's just good around the net. He's second effort should be his middle name. You know, that's how he is. And you know it as a player. And if you don't get inside body position on him, he's going to make you pay. And he made the Sens pay tonight with a couple of goals.
And the first star, our first star, Ajay Kopitar,
who was second star in-house. He had three assists tonight. I love watching him play. Always have. I've seen him play so many times. Because, you know, when I was broadcasting with the Sharks, I saw them in their heyday when they were winning Stanley Cups. And
the reverse sweep.
Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
For anyone who doesn't know, it's only happened 4 times in the NHL history. Can you imagine that, though? The reverse sweep in the first round. You're up 3-0 against your arch rival. San Jose's up 3-0. And then you lose the series in 7. And your arch rival goes on to win the Stanley Cup. Like, you were that close. Like, you were up 3-0 on the Stanley Cup champs, and you didn't close him out. That's Anze Kopitar. I love watching him play. He's just so cool and collective out there. He's always in the right spot at the right time and makes great plays. He's just a presence. His presence can be felt out there, even though I know he's aging a little bit, slowed down a little bit. He was just in the right spot at the right time. If you kind of ISO him, put an ISO cam, watch him, you know, you're just like, oh, man, he's just – he reminds me of Peter Stastny, the way he controls the middle of the rink so well. And he's so big, so strong, you know. Anyway, he's tonight's first star with three assists.
Hardest working senator, we went Tim Stützle.
Yeah, he had some – he was making some things happen. I saw two scoring chances for the Sens in the second period, and both of them were Stützle.
Yeah, he was the only one going until like the 10 minutes left in the third.
Yeah, like Shabbat had a decent game, coming away with a goal and assist, but I thought Stützle's effort was kind of noticeable. He was trying to make some things happen. There wasn't a whole lot going on out there, but he was at least trying, and he picked up a couple of assists on the power play, so he gets the hardest worker.
So to recap, number three, Kevin Fiala, second star, Victor Arvidsson, and the first star, Anze Kopitar, hardest working senator, Tim Stützle. Now let's check out the TSN 1200 Out of Town Scoreboard, brought to you by St. Hubert Barbecue, Chicken, Ribs, Hockey. And pretty busy Tuesday night in the National Hockey League, and we'll begin with the finals. 3-0, the Devils shut out the Blackhawks. 4-1, the Penguins over the Jackets. 4-2, the Red Wings double up the Lightning. Detroit now 13-7-5 on the year.
So just this is how like precarious tonight's game is.
That's why I mentioned the record and the score.
Like exactly, I knew that's what you're doing. So they fell two more points behind Detroit, and two more points behind Pittsburgh, who's not in the playoff spot right now, are they? Let me check. Yes, they are. But there's two teams in a playoff spot that gained points on the Sens tonight. Devils gain points on them. Keep going.
Blues leading the Islanders 5-4, 4:25 left in the third.
So that's good.
Jets, they're leading the Panthers 4-1, and Paul Maurice's return to the peg.
That's good.
The Maple Leafs up 3-0 on the Stars, and Mitch Marner has extended the point streak to 20 games. Jason Robertson also looking to extend his streak.
Yep.
But so far, 3:32 left in the second in that one. Coming up at 10, Ducks and Canes, Canadians and Kraken. To the World Cup, Portugal with a 6-1 stomping of Switzerland. Ramos with the hat trick, who started in place of Cristiano Ronaldo, who only ended up playing 17 minutes. We'll see what his usage is like the remainder of the World Cup tournament. Meanwhile, Morocco-Spain 0-0. Morocco advances 3-love, mixing the tennis in with the soccer here. 3-0 on penalties to advance. All right, that does it for the Out of Town Scoreboard. We will take your reaction next. I know there's already a couple people holding, including Jacob and Jordan. We'll get to you next. We'll get to some texts. We'll hear from some Sens reaction from the locker room as they fall 5-2 to the Los Angeles Kings, 10-14-1 on the year. This is the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show, the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
Let's go downstairs and check things out live from the locker room.
Welcome back to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show. The Sens fall 5-2 to the Kings. We will hear from Captain Brady Tkachuk in a moment, but let's start with the phone lines. Jacob's been patiently holding. Jacob, what did you make of this 5-2 loss to the Kings? You there, Jacob?
Oh, hello. Yes. Hi, guys. I just want to say a couple things. Number one, I want to acknowledge Nikita Zaitsev. He's been playing awesome since he came back. The little plays he does in the corners and stuff, it just shows how much a player can, when he's not being, you know, sort of leaned on by everyone. I think that can help a lot. Number two, I think we need to put more pressure on our defense, because that is a real struggle right now, and you could see it with the defensive breakdowns in our zones that lead to costly turnovers. Like today, there were a couple. I think it was the second goal. It was a turnover. They came up the board and scored. So it's just those little things that they need to clean up. But, yeah, overall, not the greatest performance tonight.
Right on. Thanks for the call, Jacob. I know there's Nikita Zaitsev has been mentioned a number of times in the last 24, 48 hours. Well, I guess going back to the weekend even, because he has looked okay since being recalled. Obviously, there is a lack of depth on the blue line, specifically that right side, but he's been okay since being recalled, and DJ Smith obviously spent some time talking about the mental side of the game. But he didn't cost them tonight. He's also not, I don't think he's helping them win or anything. It's not on him.
For all the heat he's taken, I'm just laying off.
For sure.
Like, this had nothing to do about Nikita Zaitsev tonight. And it wasn't the defenseman. It was everybody. The forwards were not good. The forwards were the ones that didn't pick up the high slot. That's who it was. That's where the mistakes were happening. These were forward mistakes in the defensive zone. That's how the Sens found themselves behind in early in this game. It was forward mistakes, not being on the right side of the, you know, of somebody in the defensive zone to take away scoring chances. So you can't blame that on the defenseman.
Even in the fans and in media, like, I'll defend the criticism of Zaitsev a little bit, because I feel, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I feel like a majority of it, from what I've noticed or taken part in, is more a reflection of where he's been in the lineup. I think people were upset and criticizing the fact that he's playing 22 to 25 minutes a night with your best or one of your best defenders. I think that's where most of it has come from in his time here, rather than, like, I think people, like, obviously he's overpaid, and some of that criticism has been reflected and put on the GM for making that deal. But I think most people, despite the salary, are okay with him being a six or seven. It's a...
So who are you going to put up? Who do you put there?
It's a...
So who do you
put mean right now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about before. Before,
yeah,
when there,
okay,
were other,
yeah,
options in the line.
Right, okay.
And so there were A...
But
people
those
were upset.
Options have been when Zub is out.
Historically.
I'm specifically
speaking
to... Oh, you're not talking
to
this season.
This season, last season,
okay,
all
historically,
the time with
I got
Sens
you.
Fans.
Okay.
I think they're upset.
I misunderstood.
Upset with the fact that he was playing too high in the lineup, and the fact that maybe a younger defenseman who they believed would like to get or deserved a better look over a player of... And maybe I'm wrong on that, but I feel like that's where most of the criticism has come. Obviously, there's still being criticism because people don't think he's very good. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But that's my sense, is that people were more frustrated with the fact that he was playing on the top pairing in 22-plus minutes a night,
yeah,
for example.
I don't think... I'm just not going to talk about him tonight. Because,
yeah,
he's taken it, like,
yeah,
I said, he's taken enough heat this year. And rightfully so. He wasn't playing well. So some of it was deserved. I know it was hard on him. You got to tune it out somehow. I mean, that's the, you know, trials and tribulations of being a pro athlete. And your job is getting analyzed by the public. But, like, he didn't have a great game. But nobody really had a great game for the Sens tonight. So he was just one of many.
Yeah. I'm going to read a text here before going back to the phone lines, because you and I were kind of discussing this during the game. Justin here. Why do the Sens roll lines throughout the entire game? Every time they're a bit of a momentum, they put their bottom six out and get hemmed in their own end, stuck in neutral zone for 90 seconds. It's an absolute joke. And we were discussing as we were watching the game, like, you're down a few goals. I don't remember if they were down two or three at the time, but there's 3 or 4 minutes left in the... They must have been down 3 goals, and there's about 3 or 4 minutes left in the first period. Why not try to chip away and just not have the
short
fourth
chip
line?
Yeah, like near the end of a period. That's when we noticed it. Like, the fourth line was out there with about 2.5 minutes left in the period. And we basically said, why not just go with 2 or 3 lines right now just to finish the period? That means it. All it means is the fourth line misses one shift in that instance. So
maybe part of it is DJ believed that he was seeing more from that line than he was.
And there's times that he's rolled it, and when the team's playing well, he's rolling the lines, and it works. Like, he was rolling the lines the other night against San Jose, and it was working. So that's what you do. That's where you have to have the feel behind the bench. You know, it's easy for us to to sit here and, you know, be armchair GMs, armchair coaches and whatnot. So it's easy. But at the same time, when you're down, it's one thing if, you know, it's a tie game, you're up by a goal or something. But if you're down by two or three goals, there's 3 minutes left in a period. Why not maybe throw that top line? Why not throw the Stutzel line out there? Why not double shift them a couple of times? You know, we're not talking for the whole period. We're talking the last 3 minutes of a period. So they get one or two extra shifts. That's all we were discussing.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. And Jordan's been patiently holding. Jordan, what's on your mind tonight?
Hello?
Hey, what's going on, Jordan?
Oh, I'm not bad. How are you?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I was just thinking, like, I was at the game tonight, and it just got me thinking a lot of the season, how it started, you know? Like, we had, we lost the first couple games, and then we won a couple by coming back, you know? Like, we scored a bunch of goals late in the game to come back and win those, and it looked like we were heading in the right direction, and now it's just like we're back to where we were in the last 3-4 years where we can't get out of the we're going down slump, you know what I mean? So it's like once we start losing, it's like we can't get out of it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jordan. I think that's what a lot of people are frustrated with is
well, that was the month of November. December's been better.
It has been.
Tonight's like they were 4-1 out of 4 out of 5 coming into tonight. Tonight was a listless effort. It was. And you know, now they have to an opportunity to go rebound and play better. I can tell you this, they're going to play a better game in Dallas. They'll play a much more spirited game. Whether they win or not is another story, but they will play a more spirited game.
Let's go back to the phone lines one more time. This segment, Ryan. Ryan, what did you think of this 5-2 loss to the Kings?
First and foremost, apologies to Steve Lloyd and his family during this difficult time. In regards to the game, I think the thing that I'm getting most frustrated with is the third and the fourth line look too much like the first and the second line. The team really doesn't feel like it has an identity in terms of a physical presence. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I wouldn't be shocked if our hitting is amongst the bottom 10 in the NHL. These lines don't look different. They're all rolling the same. It's not like they're being coached differently on any different level, or it doesn't appear to be so. Thanks for the call. Hope you guys have a great day.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. And yeah, we, Bix and I, were going to wait till the last segment to pass on our condolences.
Now's the time to do it.
Yeah. Thanks for that mentioning that in your wishes there, Ryan. If you missed it, if you're not on Twitter or didn't hear, I think Dean and Gord mentioned it on the broadcast, but Steve Lloyd lost his dad, David Lou Lloyd, tonight. So our thoughts, obviously, with Steve and his family going through, obviously, a tough time right now.
Condolences to Lloydie and his family right now.
On that note, let's go live from the locker room for the first time. We're going to hear from a number of players tonight, but let's hear from the captain, Brady Tkachuk, and what he thought of his team's effort in a 5-2 loss.
Brady, tough to explain the start to this game.
Just weren't ready to play. Starts in here.
How do you explain that at this point of the season?
There's no explanation. There's no excuses. It's unacceptable, and just it's on us. We just weren't ready.
Given how good your goaltenders have been over the last couple of games, if not most of the season here, how disappointing is it to start in front of them that way?
Yeah, like you said, they've won us games, and you know, they've stood on their head, both of them. And yeah, for us to come out that flat and just screw tabs like that, it's unacceptable. Yeah, that's not good.
Is there anything in your pregame routine or things that you guys didn't hear that just didn't set you up the way you normally do?
There must have been something. I don't know. It's just, of course, we've been having some successes of late, so maybe we thought it was going to be easy tonight, but there's no easy game. There's no easy moment in the NHL. It's unacceptable. Just it's as simple as that.
Looking forward to getting on the road and the dad's trip and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. It's of course it's a tough start tonight with them in attendance, but it's always a highlight of the year is when the dads are able to come and especially for everything they've done for us growing up and taking us to practice and all that, and doing whatever they could get us to where we are today. So, you know, it's a time to celebrate them and kind of honor them for everything that they've done. And yeah, for sure. It's a highlight of the year is when we get to have these trips.
What do you anticipate your dad's reaction after a game like this?
Probably not much talk in the car, but kind of move past it. We gotta definitely learn from tonight, not let it happen again. But turn the page from onto the Father's Trip here.
There's Captain Brady Tkachuk in conversation with the media after his team drops a 5-2 loss. He called it unacceptable.
Unacceptable. It was unacceptable. He called it. So let's just let him do the analysis. It was unacceptable. After winning 4 of 5, you're trying to make a little push in the standings here. You got your dads in the house. You're at home. What was their record at home? I don't have it in front of me, but I don't know. They just under 500 at home, but I know they're under 500 at home. Like maybe 6-7 or something like that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And
they are now 6-8.
Yeah, so they were 6-7.
I had it in my notes, but I just wasn't ready for you to go there.
Yeah, so, you know, like they had an opportunity to go 500 at home. You want to do that for your fans. He couldn't explain it. He goes, I can't explain it. It's unacceptable. So he's taking ownership that the players weren't ready, and that I accept. I don't think this one's on the coach. I think this start and the way they played and came out in that first period is on the players tonight. For whatever reason, I don't know. Like, he can't put his finger on it. He goes, I don't know. Did we think it was going to be easy? Like, you know, DJ was asked, do you think there was a letdown after two emotional wins? It's like, yeah, but they had that's what the playoffs are about. Like, you got to be able to handle the ups and downs. And they've had 2 days between that game. So if there was going to be a little bit of letdown, then you ramp right back up. Like, you know, they had Sunday off. They practiced yesterday. Optional this morning. Like, I don't know. Yeah. They didn't skate this morning. Like you said, inexcusable. It happened.
All right, let's rip through some texts here before hearing more live from the locker room on the other side. If you want to call us, 613-750-1200. Randy in Armprice says, hey, boys, GM Dorion knows what he's doing. Remember the summer? The players are a brotherhood, and if they play for Coach DJ, they will learn from this tonight. Randy and Armprire. I think Randy's having fun with the winning and learning comment that you made in the intermission.
Yep.
And I think that's what that's about there, unless he is genuine, which I'm not. It's hard to pick up sarcasm sometimes through text messages.
Yeah, it's hard to pick sarcasm up. So
I'm reading it in that one, though, I think.
You are?
Yeah, I think I nailed it. Okay. Let me know, Randy, if I didn't. But and otherwise, moving on, Parker says, unorganized, unable to capitalize 5-on-5. I'll listen to the post game because of Bakes. Parker and Gloucester. Yeah, Bakes brings it. Bring it with his Bakes takes. Chris in Vancouver. I told you this was going to happen tonight. Like, I was like, I'm feeling, and I haven't read through all the texts yet, so maybe I'm going to be wrong on this, but I'm like, I'm not feeling like what we had a few games ago where there's 1,000 texts saying fire DJ. Like, I just, because of, maybe it was the emotion in the building or not, like the lack of emotion, the lack of
yeah, but
the listless play on the ice. Like, I could just feel that it wasn't going to be like a toxic post game.
Do you think that they're the fans? Like, I'm at a point right now. Like, I was frustrated in November. Like, I was mad at times. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
You're falling way behind in the standings, and it's going to be really hard. Like, you're not going to be competing for a playoff spot if this continues. Like, that's when now I've just come to terms with where they are, and I'm just cheering them on, but I don't have that anger anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what happened last year. And so it's like they have to prove it to us, you know, and get to crawl back into it. But it's really hard to crawl back into it when you have to pass so many teams because somebody's got to win. There's ongoing games and teams are playing each other. So it's really, really hard when you're this far back. Can they do it? I don't know. I hope so. But I'm not mad right now.
Well, there's one person who is.
Okay.
So I think I have a pretty good feel for it. I think most of them aren't mad in here on the text, but Chris in Vancouver is.
Okay.
Chris says, that's it. I'm done. I'm cheering for the Jets. Go Jets. From Chris in Vancouver, who's done. Done being a Sens fan, I guess.
Well, what if the Jets start to stumble? Then is he coming back?
We're going to have to find out from Chris.
I mean, good on him to pick the Jets right now because they've been one of the surprise teams this year. So if this is going to make Chris happier, then he has to do what he has to do. But we don't want that from all Sens fans, obviously.
Chris in Broadwood says, I've been incredibly hard on DJ and his entire coaching staff this season. The warranted criticism, albeit, but tonight was on the players. Sloppy, low effort, opposite story from Saturday night. Also, can we talk about how useless of a player Watson is? I get he's a good locker room guy, but come on. What does he do to this team? What does he bring to this team? He's frustrating to watch, and if there's a lineup of five guys in Belleville that can slide in there and do a better job. Tonight, in a word, ugh, from Chris in Broadwood. All right. On that note, we'll take a break.
On that note.
And on the other side, we'll hear from Thomas Chabot and Drake Batherson. More of your texts. You can call us at 613-750-1200 if you want to voice your frustration. Sens lose 5-2. This is the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show on the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
The Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show continues on TSN 1200.
Welcome back to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show. The Sens with a 5-2 loss to the Kings, where not enough. The brutal start. I don't think that we liked much of their game until late in the third, when it's clear that that the Kings, they weren't sending their D. They weren't going for any other chances. This game was over in the first period. It felt that way, and it was that way. Let's continue to take some of your reaction. Chris in Vancouver has responded.
Oh.
Ha, I'm just joking. I'm mad. Love my Senators. Chris in Vancouver.
You can still cheer for the Jets. Just cheer for the Senators more. Just in case the Sens are having a bad night. If the Jets win, then he can be happy.
Yeah, but isn't that fake?
Yeah,
you like for me, like I don't know.
No, I cheer. Like my favorite football team's the 49ers, but I've always been a Belichick, Tom Brady fan. So like I was happy when the Bucks won the other night.
Well, just right now. Like, if you just decide to choose another team now, no passion. There's no emotion. There's
I wanted
there.
With the Sharks won the other night, I would have been happy.
Well, yeah, that's the Sharks. That's you obviously have a connection there.
Well, maybe he has a connection in Winnipeg.
I don't know. It feels like he just wants to pick the hottest Canadian team that's not the Maple
well,
Leafs.
You know, we don't know.
We don't know. I don't know.
He's not cheering for Vancouver. We know that.
We do know that. Frogger has texted, hey, Creech and Bakes, it's not Sky is falling tonight. I'm not happy with the effort, but... You know what? These boys will get on the road, bond, win some games, and make us all proud. Will they make the playoffs? Probably not, but I will continue to cheer game in, game out. That's what fans are. Take care, boys, from your pal, Frogger. Yeah, I don't have the optimism. I've been doing this for a number of years where just loss after loss after loss.
I don't have the optimism to make the playoffs, just where they sit in the standings and how hard the East is. Like,
even
this is
the optimism that they're going to win these two games on the road.
Oh, my God. This is going to be a tough road trip.
Yeah.
Nashville's playing better hockey, first of all. And Dallas, they're losing tonight right now. It's, I think, 3-0 to Toronto. But they're a good hockey team. So, listen, I do know this. They're going to play way better than they did tonight.
Oh, for sure.
This is rare that the team plays flat. Like... In even other games that they've lost, most games they've lost this year, they've been in those games and worked hard. Like, this was rare that they came out and played this way.
I'm going to try to clean this text up. There's a couple of, like, grammar and spelling errors.
Somebody did it from their phone?
Yeah, or voice-to-text or something.
Voice-to-text.
I think what the point of the text is fire DJ, and if Dorion doesn't get it done, fire him as well. Lost season, not utility, not buying more tickets. I'm not sure what the last part of that sentence is supposed
Maybe
to be.
Maybe somebody was using Google Translate. Could have been a different language.
I would like to ask, because we have spent so many nights with reaction about firing DJ, and I'm not saying, hey, you heard Chance again tonight. This was the third time that I heard
they
fire
just won
DJ
four
Chance.
Out of five games. So the players didn't show up tonight. Tonight's not on DJ. Well, it doesn't matter what the tactics are.
I'm just asking if that's your opinion, and I think it's fair to have that opinion. Give us more than just fire DJ. Explain what
Okay.
Explain what you want to happen if they make a coaching change. Because, in my opinion, the team's not making the playoffs this year. Like, I think they made that bet in November. It's lost season in terms of making the postseason. So if you make a coaching change, do you believe that this team is capable of going on a run and making the postseason? Do you believe that whenever this team is sold, that they'll make their own opinion on everything, top to bottom? Like, give us more than just fire DJ. Explain what you think, what you would like to see happen, if that's your opinion.
So you're asking the texters, the callers.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's...
You want them... Just don't say fire DJ. Put a little meat on the bone.
Tell me what you would do and why you would want to see him gone.
Put some meat on the bone.
What do you want the team to accomplish if they make a coaching change? I'm not saying it's a wrong opinion. I'm not saying I don't disagree with it. I'm just saying, like, what would you like to see happen? Because do you believe this team's making the playoffs with DJ, without DJ?
I said before the season, the Sens' biggest challenge this year is playing in the Eastern Conference. I still agree with that. Like, if you look at the West, you can crawl up those standings. Like, there's the weaker teams are in the West. It's not even close. So that's the challenge, is you're in such a tough conference that you can't fall behind. And they did what they said they couldn't do, is they put themselves behind the eight ball. It's just hard. They have to win. They have to win like two out of every three games moving forward to even have a slight chance at making the playoffs. That's not a lot of room for error. So if you look at the last six games, they've won four of them. They have to keep that pace the rest of the year. Can this team do it? I don't know if they can. So it'd be great if they can. I want them to. But they put themselves behind the eight ball in a really tough conference where there's a lot of good teams. And you make a move, like, just again, like I said last night, Philly, Washington, the Rangers all won, got 2 points against Western teams. Montreal picked up 1 point, and then they lost some traction tonight by losing, and some of the Eastern teams winning. So it's like, and you go look at the standings again tomorrow, and you're like, okay, well, we're ahead of Columbus. That's it. So they've got to crawl out of this. So now they got to go back on and win like four out of the next five games. That's hard to do on a consistent basis. And I don't know. I know they have inner belief, but they can't. You come out and have these types of games, you're throwing one out, you're throwing an opportunity out the window on a game like tonight.
All right, let's put a wrap on the live from the locker room here with a couple of interviews. Here's Thomas Chabot in conversation with the media.
Thomas, hard to explain that start with this hockey game.
It's just not good enough. It's simple as that, and there's no other way around it. I think we started the game and we just weren't ready, and they took the game over right in the first.
I mean, I know you guys aren't going to have 82 great games across the board, but just given the weekend that you did have followed up with the first period, is that a concern at all?
I wouldn't call it a concern. I think the biggest thing is at least every single guy in this room was aware of it, which is the biggest thing. I think it would be a problem if everybody's thinking, oh, maybe I played a good game, but no one's like that. Everybody knows we weren't ready to play, and that's something as a group that that can't happen. Is every night we know the way we can play and have success with, and that's what we got to do.
Why don't you think you were ready to play? Just lack of focus or lack of preparation?
I don't know. I wouldn't call it that. I think it's like Kyle just said. I think sometimes you're not going to play it perfect every single night, but once you start a game and you see that it's not going your way, then I think you kind of take a step back as a team and you play the system, you play the way we know we can have success, and we didn't do that tonight.
All right, we'll react to that in a moment. Let's hear from Drake Batherson in conversation with the media.
Tough to come back after a first period the way you had.
Yeah, no, obviously we weren't ready to go right off the bat, kind of left the goalies out to dry there. Obviously can't afford to do that this point in the season.
DJ shouldered a bit, saying that it was preparation. Do you feel like you didn't prepare properly for this game?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we didn't really have a good start, and obviously it's tough to climb back when you're down 4-1 after the first. So No, just disappointing. Obviously, all the dads are here, but going to have to put it behind us and move on to Dallas.
Is that tough? I mean, DJ took a lot of the responsibility saying he didn't have you guys ready, but how much is that really on you guys?
No, it's not at him. The game plan was there, and we, as a group of players, just weren't ready to go. It has nothing to do with the coaches. They had the game plan all set for us. We just didn't execute it well.
On a personal note, feel good to get one, get that streak off your back?
Yeah, obviously it's nice to score, but just disappointing it comes in a loss, right? So, no, we'll look forward to Dallas and obviously hope for a better start.
There's Drake Batherson in conversation with the media, Thomas Chabot right before him. We heard Brady Tkachuk earlier. Obviously the tone, not ready, not prepared, unacceptable. Same kind of message from all three players.
And they're saying across the board. Like, I like Thomas Chabot's answer. Like, he's like, we're not going to worry about it. He goes, it's not like anybody in here is thinking they had a good game. He goes, it was across the board. We didn't show up as a team. They can't really put their finger on why, obviously. If they could put their finger on why, it wouldn't have happened. Or they would have been able to rectify it quicker. It's just, in a long season, these games do happen. For whatever reason. And it happened collectively tonight. You know, tonight's a night that it's, you look at the Ranger game, and one of the turning points of the game was Brady Tkachuk fighting Trouba at center ice. Well, and he took the game over. Nobody took the game over tonight. Like, this was a night, the fourth line, this is an opportunity for one of those guys to get in a fight or to do something to try and turn the momentum. And I'm not pinning the game on them. I'm just saying to try and get some energy going through, you know, throughout the lineup or the third line. Like, that's what your depth lines, like, they have to, like, and I was a depth player. And I know, like, we used to talk, my line mates and I were like, the other guys, I did it all the time. Owen Nolan, the scouting report on him was let him sleep. Like, when you wake up the bear, watch out. If you hit him, run him, do anything, like, he wakes up, he became a beast out there. He skated faster. He was more physical. He was chirping guys, and his skill came to the forefront because he was so good. But there were games, like, he would sleep through, like, he wasn't playing his best, because he was just, there wasn't energy. And we used to sit on the bench and we're like, let's create a little hornet's nest out there. So we'd go out and get and stir it up. And what it would do is it would get a rise through the rest of the lineup. That's not always on Brady Tkachuk. It's not always on the first line to do that.
We were talking about it earlier in their 4-game winning streak to start the season at home. There was, I forget which game it was.
The fourth line.
Member of the line had a hit on the same shift that it knocked the opposing player down, and it
got the crowd going.
Got the crowd going.
Gets the team going. Yeah. So nobody did. But tonight's a night that, to me,
across the board.
And when it's flat across the board, and the big guys have been leading the way they have been, then a little bit disappointed in the third and fourth lines tonight for not creating some type of energy, urgency, getting the crowd going, doing something. They didn't do it. So they were flat too. It's like, come on, it doesn't have to be the captain fighting the other team's captain at center ice. He can't do it all the time. You don't want him doing that all the time. So somebody else has to do it. And nobody came to the forefront tonight. Or no unit or no defensive pair. Nobody came to the forefront tonight. So it was a collective listless game, if you will.
All right, let's get to some more texts here. Chris from Ottawa says, I'm going to go in the opposite direction, and DJ's postgame is bang on. They had two nights off with no travel, and the morning skate was optional. I get it if they play 3 games in 4 nights or come back from a Western road trip. I get it being optional, but they came back from New York. Was that too tough on the players' eyes for DJ Smith? If it's a no, no wonder the players want DJ to stay, and that's the big problem from Chris in Ottawa. DJ did say in his post game that it was on him, and he said, maybe I needed to have a morning skate. I don't know. You could take us through the history of morning skates and what impact that has on
nothing.
It. Yeah, that's because
you're some
not,
guys like it. If
you're just getting out there, right?
You're like just it's getting not, out there. Like, go ride. Some guys, if you want to get a go ride a bike, it doesn't matter. It's a long, long season. It's a long season. Putting on your gear in the morning is, the reason they did it was because way back in the day, guys used to go out the night before games so it was to skate the booze off them. Like, that's what it was for. Nowadays, these guys don't need it. The season's so long, you don't need to go for a 20-minute little twirl. It doesn't change anything in your game. It just doesn't. You know, if you're the backup goaltender and you haven't played in a few games, you might want to go feel some pucks. But you can work with the goalie coach or get a couple of players that aren't going to be dressing that night and still go out and get a few shots. So you can still get, you know, what you need. But for everybody else, you really don't need it. And there's no reason listen, the mistakes they were making tonight, it wasn't just physical. It wasn't just their legs weren't going in the first period. Like they didn't have the focus. So it didn't matter. It had nothing. This had nothing to do with morning skate. I appreciate DJ taking some accountability, but all three players have also taken accountability. Like, everybody's taking accountability for the team not showing up tonight, which I appreciate. But to me, it's on the players.
Uncle Chickadan has texted in, tonight's not on DJ, but I get the established new coach now, not later. I don't care if they make the playoffs, nor at this point. Why spend several more months continuing to do what hasn't worked for 4 years? A good proven coach should have come first with this young core like this. None of the big pieces now know how to win. Neither does our coach. Love DJ, but it's time, from Uncle Chickadan. See, that's all I was asking for. Don't just send us a text just says fire DJ. Give us something like that. And I definitely can agree to that to a certain extent. And I don't, like, this isn't any inside information or anything. I'm just curious. Everyone knows that this team is going to be sold relatively in the not too distant future. If there's a coaching change that needs to be made, maybe they're the ones that do it. Maybe they're the ones that look top to bottom and evaluate what's going to happen with this organization. Maybe Pierre Dorion does have the ability to go make that coaching change right now and bring in the best of it. Like, I don't know. I've asked Aaron Dreger of this in the past, and he says he doesn't believe the pending sale has an impact on Dorion's ability to make that decision. So thank you for the text, Uncle Chickadan. That's what I was looking for.
During November, when I was frustrated because I could see the team, even though they were still in games, they weren't winning, and they were slipping in the standings, and I'm like, I don't want you to slip too far, or all this talk about being competitive at the end of the year might not happen and you might be out of it too early, you know, and I challenged, does the GM, did he construct this properly? Coaching, how come they're off to a bad start again? Players, why aren't you executing? Why aren't you doing what the coach is telling you to do? Like, what's going on here? Right now, I think they're all in it together. Not to mention, I'm not questioning a coach after one loss when they just won 4 out of 5. I'm not going to do it. It's not, you can't just question the coach after every loss. It's a body of work. Like, if you know, and that's another conversation. It's like, for this season, or like, you got to go back to last season and you got to take it all in. It's like a big picture of what you want to look at. What, you know, the players still play for him. That's the one thing I can tell you. They play for him. They still play for him. So he hasn't lost the dressing room. And one of the main reasons coaches get fired is they lose the dressing room. Or in, what's his name, Paul Maurice's standpoint, he left. He knew he'd lost the room, and he left before they even fired him. And I only bring that up because Florida played in Winnipeg tonight.
We'll
he was
get
there.
To that in our next segment.
Yeah, so I was teeing that up. But so I'm not going to, as far as the coaching stuff, like tonight, this had nothing to do with coaching tonight.
Caleb has texted in, fire DJ, he never upgraded the decor this offseason. Wait, maybe you have the wrong guy here. It comes in from Caleb. And I think on a similar note here, this comes in from Backhand Sauce Mark. Good evening, gentlemen. boy, oh boy, let me tell you, this team is the gift that keeps on giving. The rim, the puck around the boards, don't cover anyone high off the glass, and hustle, really good system is going to click soon. I can feel it. I think DJ should play the fourth line more, especially more D-zone starts in the last 2 minutes of periods. This team doesn't have enough ham or egg. Go, Sens, go. Cheers from backhand sauce.
Dripping Mark. With sarcasm. Now that...
That you can read.
That we could read. We can read the sarcasm in that text.
What else we got here? Rob says, hey guys, I hope the Sens new ownership will fully understand that the top players on this team will not put up with losing year after year. If things don't get seriously turned around next year, don't be surprised when players like Kachuk start asking to be traded. If you think they will stay here and lose for another 5 years because they are loyal to the crest and the sweater, you are naive. That comes in from Rob. All right. I think that does it for the night. There are more texts in here. They're all kind of on the similar note. So I appreciate them all and the phone calls.
Yep, we appreciate you taking the time. It means you care. It's the concern is when everybody doesn't care. That's the big concern. You don't want to get that to that point. So we care. If you're frustrated, that's a good thing.
All right. Let's take a break. On the other side, the out-of-town scoreboard, some final thoughts. This is the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show on the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
The Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show continues on TSN 1200.
All right, it's now time to check out the TSN 1200 Out of Town scoreboard brought to you by Senior Bear Barbecue, Chicken Ribs, Hockey. And we'll begin the NHL. Just jump in whenever you want here, Bakes. 3-0, the Devils blank the Blackhawks.
They just keep on rolling, don't they?
21-4-1.
21-4-1. 43 points, first overall in the NHL.
Did you know the Ottawa Senators were 10 points ahead of the Devils last season?
And right now, they are 22 points behind them.
Not
that's a ideal. 32. That's a 32-point swing. Put it this way. The Devils have that type of swing on everybody. They've got like a 30-point swing on everybody. That's how good they've been this year.
Penguins with a 4-1 win over the Jackets.
So they're in the playoffs right now. Playoffs race. So we're keeping track. I'm just keeping track of where teams are.
Red Wings, 4-2 winners over the Lightning.
So they're 13-7-5. I didn't see that. I saw them improving. I thought they were going to be... I honestly thought, like, Detroit and Ottawa are going to be kind of neck and neck close together. So I'm a little bit surprised. I'm surprised Ottawa is where it is. I thought they'd have a better record than they do. And I'm surprised that Detroit, they have more points than I thought they would at this point. So good on them. But what are they at? 31. What's Ottawa at? So they're 10 points ahead of Ottawa. So Ottawa's got some work to do to catch up to Detroit.
4-point swing tonight. 7-4, the Blues over the Islanders.
So that's good. The Islanders lose.
The Jets with a 5-2 win over the Panthers and Paul Maurice's return to the peg.
Okay, so let's talk about the Jets. They are now...
Chris Vancouver's new squad.
They are now first place in the Central Division. I don't think anybody had them being first place at this juncture of the season in the Central Division. So they've been... They're also one of the surprises of the year. And... On that note, like Paul Maurice, and he's got to be wondering what's going on in Florida, because they're on the outside looking in right now. I know there's a lot of track still to be had, but he's got to be wondering what's going on with his hockey team. Now have they?
The blue line was thin with Mackenzie Weegar.
Yeah,
and they added him in that trade to acquire Kachuk. Still blows my mind that like I realize that he needed a new deal, but. I don't know. I feel like you move some other furniture around to figure that one out.
Well, if you look at New Jersey and the way they're built and their defensive core, you build it from the back end out. Like, it solidifies a lot of things. It's a foundation, right?
3-0, the Maple Leafs leading the Stars with 5:38 left in the third. Matt Murray playing incredibly well, and Mitch Marner, 20-game point streak.
Jason Robertson's 18-point streak could come to a halt tonight. Advantage, Marner, and the Leafs, who have just, you know, for all the early season criticism, and I just sat on the sidelines, I'm like, they'll get it going. They're a good hockey team. Their injuries, their defense is depleted with injuries, but they keep going. Like, kudos to the coaching staff and the players. If they win tonight, they're going to be 16-5-6, 38 points in second place behind the Boston Bruins in the Atlantic Division. So they're off to a great start again, the Leafs, and having a great game so far tonight in Dallas.
2-1, the Ducks leading the Canes after one.
I can't see them holding on to this win, lead for a win tonight. Here's my two cents on that one.
And tell us what happened with the Kraken and Canadians. It's 1-1 after one.
Shane Wright, who hasn't been playing many games this year.
And when he has, it's been like 4 minutes.
Yeah, 6 minutes. Scored his first NHL goal against the Montreal Canadiens.
Nice. Good for him.
Right?
Yeah.
Wonder if there was... I haven't seen it, so I'm sure Twitter will show a replay of it. And I'm assuming there'll be a good little celebration for him. He'll have a good smile on his face, that's for sure.
6-1 Portugal all over Switzerland to advance to the quarterfinals. They did it without Cristiano Ronaldo, only played 17 minutes, didn't start.
Passing of the torch.
Well, yeah, I guess.
They went with some young blood, 21 years old. What's his name again?
Ramos. Ramos. The hat trick.
Hat trick. His first start in the World Cup. I think it was his first start in international competition.
All I know is I can't wait to see what happens with Ronaldo in the quarters. The Portuguese manager was asked after, like, what's his role? And he said that's still to be determined, because he was upset when he was subbed out in their previous match. So didn't get the start today and only played kind of garbage minutes after they were dominating. Morocco and Spain, 0-0. Morocco advance on penalties.
Were you happy about that, or do you care?
Yeah, I care. I care big time about Canada. Now it's because I cared so much about how the Canadians did. Like, I'm still interested, and I think the drama is incredible. But it's definitely taken a backseat. And the other reason is the number one thing I care about right now is the college football playoff. That's got my entire attention until about January 9th. Still following the World Cup for sure. But do I care that Morocco
advanced? I was interested in Canada, and now I'm more interested in the World Cup because there's elimination games. Like,
yeah, for sure. Like, these games are bigger, more on the line. And
yeah.
It's exciting. I'm still into it. I'm not feeling it as much.
I still don't know what I think about the, like, I guess you, I don't know what I feel about the shootout. Like, it's not a shootout. The penalty shots, though. Like, I don't know if I don't know. It just seems like 0-0 after 120 minutes. They got to end the game somehow. I don't know.
Definitely
I don't
want to play another 120.
No.
Go to penalties. Yeah. And it's guaranteed that there's going to be a hero on at least one, or a hero on one side and then at least one goat on the other.
Spain looked really bad in the penalties today.
Like, they didn't score one.
They didn't score. So I have a question about it. So I watched a little bit of it today.
Yeah.
Why aren't more, like, I have a buddy here who played. He played soccer at Carleton, and his dad's from Germany and stuff like that. So he's cheering for Germany. He's cheering for Canada. And I was going to text him today. I didn't, but I'm going to. I'm like, why in the penalty kicks don't more guys shoot high? They all shoot low. Every one today in the Spain, and who'd they lose? Who'd Spain lose to?
Morocco.
Every shot was low. Every single shot was low, like 2 feet off the ground.
Without being a soccer expert.
Why would you not go top corner? The goalie's diving low. Every time the goalie dives low to take away the bottom of the net. So it's like, you've got a 33% chance of scoring, basically. So you can try and shoot it down the middle, because if he dives, if you catch him diving one way or the other, then you shoot it right down the middle. Morocco did that twice, by the way, which one of them, the guy barely kicked it. I'm like, that was lackadaisical and good for you. Like, that was awesome. Like, calm, cool, and collective. But, like,
Want me to answer a question?
It's
got to be the fear of missing.
They're the best players in the world.
What happens?
They're the best players in the world.
You hit the bar or send it high. It's been happening
for decades.
If you
can't pick the top...
It happens all the time. I don't.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
Like
I said that to. So my internal analysis. I try not to talk to myself. You know, I'm not like I'm crazy, but I'm not that crazy yet. Hopefully, was maybe there's just so much tension that it's too hard to pick it, like top corner.
Exactly.
And then I thought, no, I'm not letting them off the hook. This is why they're the best players in the world. These guys, some of these guys, they're making $50 million a year, and you can't pick the top corner when you're under pressure? Give me a break. I'm not buying it. Anyway, that's my rant of the night. There, I didn't even have a rant on the Sens tonight.
We're going to have a soccer guest on tomorrow. I'm going to ask that question.
Yeah.
Right for you.
Like, in today's penalties, every shot was low. And I'm like, I don't get it. Anyway.
Thanks.
It's been a pleasure. We got to get a win, like a good win. Like we had a couple of good wins where we were working earlier.
Oh, you mean you and I?
You and I
had
yeah.
a blast on Friday, Saturday. I tell you, I've had years of just this garbage start every single
year.
Yeah,
so you had fun. Did you work both the games?
Worked both games.
Yeah, I was here Saturday.
Like I was most, like I'd say 99% of the texts came in where people just fired up about things.
Yeah.
And then there'd be a couple who were like nothing has changed. They still need to fire a coach. I'm like, listen, I understand that this is still a flawed team. But allow the fans to celebrate. Like that was super exciting Saturday night.
Totally.
I know you were probably here with a lot of San Jose people.
No, I was here with my girlfriend, my dad, and my uncle.
Did you go out with San Jose people after?
No, I went out Friday night for dinner.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because it would travel.
And then I went on their TV at intermission
nice.
For a little bit.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
But that was a blast. That,
yeah.
Honestly.
Great atmosphere in here.
That one.
That sequence.
Segment, the sequence of the block shots and the
goalie
the
saves.
Stickless, the goalie saves, and then the
Giroux slapshot.
Slapshot from the hashes. Like, the place exploded. I can't remember the last time it was that loud. Like,
yeah.
I probably go back to the run in 2017, specifically against Boston when they were trailing. And then Carlson passed to Brassard to tie things up, and then they won in overtime. Clark MacArthur scored in that game. It was his first goal back after missing a year with the concussion. Like, that place was bonkers.
Yeah.
I think Saturday night kind of touched those levels.
Yeah. Lee was...
I've enjoyed some, but you haven't. You need a win. You need a win here.
I need some W's here. They're more fun. It's more fun to analyze after they win. But it's always fun working with you. And Bobby Hines.
Yeah.
Great job, Bobby Hines, per the usual.
Just wanted to say one more time, like our thoughts are with Steve Lloyd and his family. If you missed it, Lloydie announced on Twitter tonight that he lost his dad. So thinking of Steve Lloyd and his family for sure.
Tough time.
CJ and I will be on In the Box tomorrow. But I want to thank Bakes for joining me intermissions and post and doing pregame.
Thanks for doing the intermissions and postgame with me.
Thanks to Lee Versage, who was out here so quick. I got here before 7 o'clock and he was gone. I don't know where he went.
He's a man on a mission.
But he was on a mission for sure.
He's
so thanks
a man
to
on
Lee Versage,
mission.
Darren Dreger, who joined Lee off the top. Dina Gordo had tonight's call. Bobby Hines, Cam Clement, producing back at 87 George Street in the Byward Market. Matt Hamer, producing here at Canadian Tire Center. And thank
Just
you for
a
listening.
Team effort. Team
yeah,
effort.
Big team effort. Thanks for listening and texting and tweeting and calling. Sens lose 5-2. 10-14-1 on the year. Next broadcast is Thursday against the Stars. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.